going to start with a quick update on the shooting at NC Central University Tuesday night that left one student injured. Got a couple more details on this now. WRAL reporting that student was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, and campus police say they have identified suspects. The shooting happened in a residence hall around 10 p.m., causing a campus-wide lockdown for about 2 hours. Over now to Chapel Hill, where officials have been making a concerted push to improve accessibility for residents with disabilities when it comes to getting around town. But despite many improvements, local advocates say the town still has a long way yet to go. 97.9 The Hill's Sierra Pfeiffer has the story.
Becky Moore has been a Chapel Hill resident since 2015, and she uses the path by her apartment every day. The sidewalk and asphalt trail connects East Franklin Street to the Chapel Hill Public Library. But Moore said, for a long time, the path has been increasingly difficult for her to use in her wheelchair.
I can't go that way or it will tip me out of the chair. And this one is tough. And then this is the one that people walking up the trail, if they're not paying attention, trip up all the time.
Moore first started using a wheelchair when she was 12, and her time on wheels has translated into expertise. Still, she says the conditions of paths, the sharpness of sidewalk cutouts, and the placement of crosswalk buttons all significantly affect how she moves through the world on a daily basis. She includes these factors on a list of challenges many able-bodied people may not notice. She even suggested I try navigating the library path in her old wheelchair.
There's definitely a moment where I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah. You're like, oh, am I gonna die?
Yeah.
According to Moore and other disability advocates, unexpected challenges aren't only present in outdoor spaces. In 2022, Valerie Schwartz spent 7 months putting together a comprehensive accessibility guide for the Chapel Hill and Orange County Visitors Bureau that assesses the accessibility of 200 local businesses and 15 hotels.
So you can find out what the seating is. You can find out what the service is. Is it full service or do you need to get in line? And then after you've ordered your food, are they going to bring the food to your table or do you have to take the food to the table?
Schwartz is a longtime Chapel Hill resident and worked as a newspaper columnist. The 2023 accessibility guide wasn't the first Schwartz put together. An original access guide was written by her and Ellen Perry, a Carborough disability rights activist, in 2015. Town officials Wade Gulledge and Sarah Poulton said the town of Chapel Hill is also taking action to make public facilities and resources more accessible. To make sure operations comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, Chapel Hill hired an outside consultant to complete an audit and make the ADA transition plan for the town.
Our job is to be making good faith efforts towards compliance and all the things that are in that plan. It could take quite a while. The plan plans out 5 years and kind of gives you priorities for year one, year two, all through year five. But it's gonna take time to implement them. And we are, as funding is available and as staff is available, we will be making these fixes. We're already working on a big chunk of them.
In the meantime, as the town continues to work towards its long-term goals, Gulledge and Poulton said they appreciate feedback from the community about accessibility.
Let us know if you're dealing with a town facility, like a parking lot or a certain facility you're struggling to get into. That helps us prioritize what fixes we need to make. So I'd say we are very open to feedback.
One way to do this is by using Chapel Hill Connect, which allows residents to upload service requests, including accessibility fixes. Moore said accessibility concerns can go unnoticed unless they're brought up.
Accessibility is unfortunately one of those things that we don't think about until we're forced to. And life can change on a dime. And you can go from able-bodied to not able-bodied in a heartbeat. And everything changes. And you are forced to figure out how to live within those confines and how to adapt to this repeated shutout of the places you've always been, of the places you've always gone, that you just can't go anymore.
Since Moore's feedback, the town of Chapel Hill has started working to improve the library path conditions. And Moore said accessibility fixes benefit everyone. After all, who doesn't like a bigger bathroom stall, wider sidewalks, or smoother ramps?
Those things that make life more accessible for people that need them truly make life easier for everyone. They just don't realize it until it's offered.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.
Over now to Raleigh, where a U.S. district judge has rejected a motion to dismiss two lawsuits challenging new state laws tightening the rules for same-day voter registration. State officials adjusted the rules to address Judge Thomas Schroeder's earlier constitutional concerns, but that adjustment is only temporary because it hasn't been approved by the General Assembly. Schroeder said that's not enough to justify throwing out the lawsuit. Lawmakers are focusing this week not on elections, but on education following the release of an annual report on the state of the teaching profession in North Carolina. State Board of Education puts that out every year, and this year's report had some troubling findings, most notably a big spike in the number of teachers leaving their jobs. More than 11% of teachers statewide left their positions in the last school year. That's over 10,000 teachers in all, up more than 40% just from the year before. Meanwhile, the state labor department has taken action against a sweet potato farm in Nash County where a worker died of heat-related illness last September. Last week, state officials levied a $187,000 fine against that farm, but advocates say, in general, employers do not have clear guidance on how best to protect workers. Ashley Ward heads up the Heat Policy Innovation Hub at Duke University.
I don't know the employer in this case, and I can't speak to the employer in this case. But the employers that I've always worked with, they really do truly want to keep their workers safe. What they lack is clear guidance to do so. They are not heat experts. They're not physiologists. They're not medical doctors. They need someone to give them clear guidance. Here's what you do, and here's when you do it. And that's what we currently lack in our policies. And that's why the general duty clause doesn't go far enough. Because for the vast majority of employers who want to protect their employees because they know that a healthy employee means they're a better worker. And so, for those who want to do that, we really are failing at providing them the information they need to do that. And so that's why I would say we need to consider clear guidelines for employers to follow that's based in science about how we best protect our workers.
That's Ashley Ward speaking there. You can get more of her comments in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Visit Chapelboro for other local news as well, including details about an hour-long power outage that hit UNC campus yesterday evening. Officials say that was caused by an issue at the substation on West Cameron Avenue. Finally, one bit of good news from Raleigh. Big congratulations to the restaurant Crawford & Son, which just got named as a finalist for a James Beard Award for Outstanding Hospitality. It's one of five nominees nationwide. The winner is going to be announced in June. 6:20 your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by New Hope Church. Carolina baseball takes the field tonight in Charlottesville for game one of a three-game set at Virginia. UNC's up four spots to number 10 in this week's D1 baseball rankings. Tar Heels riding a nine-game winning streak, most recently a three-game sweep of Wake Forest on the road. They're 25-4 so far this year, best start for them in 11 years, and they're tied for first in the ACC Coastal Division with a 10-2 conference record. Meanwhile, Virginia's down six spots to number 15 in the rankings after dropping 2 of 3 at Duke, but the offensive-minded Cavaliers are always a tough out. Here's UNC head coach Scott Forbes on Virginia.
Offensively, everything that we've been hearing, obviously I've watched a little bit myself, says that they're the best offense in the league, top to bottom. They've scored a ton of runs. They've hit a lot of home runs. They lost all three weekend starters that were transfers off the transfer portal last year. And anytime you do that, you know, that's innings lost, and you got to figure out those innings. I think they've had some injuries, but we all have injuries. So I would say this year for them, they're probably – their backbone is more their offense.
Scott Forbes there. Tonight's game will be our first baseball broadcast of the season, so tune in for First Pitch tonight at 7 p.m. with Dave Nathan, as always, on the call. Also on the diamond, Tar Heel softball lost to UNC Wilmington yesterday, 4-2. Carolina's back in action this weekend, facing Duke in Durham starting tomorrow. The Durham Bulls had a better day yesterday, beating Jacksonville 6-4 for their first home win. They're back in action this evening, hosting Jacksonville again at 6:35. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes also have the game tonight. They're hosting the Bruins at 7. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more sports news, including details about UNC's spring football game, which is set for Saturday, April 20th in Keenan Stadium. And finally, big congratulations to Tar Heel basketball legend Vince Carter, reportedly just elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame after scoring over 25,000 points in a 22-year NBA career. The official announcement has not been made yet. It will be made at the Final Four on Saturday.